sure is good to be here. And the Lord's been so good to us all. He's been so good to us. None of us deserve what we've got. None of us deserve it. It's grace and it's mercy. God is gracious, and He gave me what I didn't deserve. And He's merciful in that He didn't give me what I did deserve. I deserved hell, but I'm not going. I'm not going. Sometimes we even forget that, don't we? We get so busy in the world and the things that go on, busy in our jobs and busy so many things in our homes, and we forget just how blessed we are and how God has saved us. And that's one aspect of that's what I'm going to be talking just a few minutes about tonight. You pray for me, but God set us apart for Himself. He sanctified us, didn't He? And that's what I'm going to be speaking on tonight with the Lord's help. I can look back when I got saved, and I can remember how the Lord, how He did me when I got saved. You know, when we get saved, we don't just come into this full grown when we get saved. We're babes in Christ when we get saved. We're just babies, and God treats us like babies. He does all things well, doesn't He? He does all things well. But he knows we're babies when we first get saved, and He don't require the same thing of a young Christian as He does an old Christian. But we that have been saved for years and years, we ought to know better about some things by now. And Paul told him over there in Hebrews, he said, for the time, he said, you ought to be teachers. He said, you ought to be teachers by now. And that's how a lot of us are. We ought to be teachers by now. But he said, you have need that you go back and learn what the first oracles of God are. He said, you need to go back to kindergarten and start over again because somehow you've missed it. You're not where you ought to be. That sounds like us sometimes, doesn't it? But God don't intend for us to stay where we were when we got saved. And you've heard that little story about the little girl fell out of the bed and her mama said, well, what happened? And she said, well, I stayed too close to where I got in at. And that's why a lot of us fall so much sometimes. We stayed too close to where we got in at. God don't intend for us to stay close to where we got in at. He intends for us to progress and to grow. One writer said that he wanted them to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So there's growth that's supposed to go on for Christians. We're not supposed to stay the same. We're not supposed to stay babies. We're not the same things that bothered us when we just got saved shouldn't bother us now. Somebody calling us a silly little name might have tore us all to pieces when we first got saved, when we were yet sort of carnal, you know, we were immature. But if somebody calls me a name now, it shouldn't bother me as much. It really shouldn't bother me as much if somebody calls me a silly old name now. And I hope we've all progressed further than that. I really hope we have. If I hear that somebody said something negative about me, it shouldn't bother me as much as it once did. I should be more mature than that. I should be more spiritually progressed than that. I mean, I know the truth. I know what God says. I know what God expects of me. I remember that one preacher I heard years ago. He said he was a drug addict and he got saved. But people would bring up his past, and he would hear of people bringing up his past. And he said, I prayed about it one time and said, it bothered me. He said, I prayed about it. And he said, I was praying about it one day and it just seemed like the Lord said, well, what do I think about it? He said, well, Lord, you said you forgive me, and I'm justified, and I'm yours, and I'm changed. And it seemed like the Lord said to him again, well, next time they say it, you ask me what I think. And so we ought to know what the Lord thinks by now. And so what men say about us shouldn't bother us as much as it once did, because we know what the Lord thinks about it. And I've heard people that aren't saved, you know, they'll say, well, I don't have no confidence in so-and-so. I know what he used to be. Well, I'm glad the Lord don't judge me on what I used to be, aren't you? Such were some of you, but you have been changed. We've been changed, and it don't surprise me when somebody lost says that. That don't surprise me because I know how it is when I was lost. I mean, they don't understand God's changing power and God's grace, do they? We can't expect them to understand it. So when they say, well, I know what he used to be, I mean, you just take it for what it is. It's coming from a lost person. I hope that it has no grounds. What they're saying has no ground. Now, if a saved person is living like a lost person, then there's need for some change there, and there's need. They should be disappointed, and people are disappointed in them. But lost people don't understand God's saving power and God's grace and God's working in their lives. But when God saved us, He justified us. Somebody said that is just as if I'd never sinned, justified. And that it can mean that. I think that's a pretty good definition. God sees me through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He sees Jesus' blood when He looks at me. And that is marvelous and that's amazing that He sees Jesus when He looks at me, but He does. He sees me as His child. He sees me through His Son. Through His Son, that's how He sees Michael Compton. Even though I feel like I'm so unfit and unworthy sometimes, but when the Father looks at me, He sees the blood of the Son. And I'm so glad of that. I'm glad of that tonight. Aren't you? Aren't you? I'm glad of that. He sees Jesus' blood when He looks at me. But He justified. And when we were justified, we were also sanctified. And that's what I want to speak on just a few minutes tonight. I may not be very long. And I don't promise that, but I may not be very long, but I want to speak about that for just a few minutes tonight. When we were sanctified, there's two different stages of sanctification. There's a positional sanctification. We were sanctified once and all through the blood of Christ. Now in the Old Testament, it talks about sanctification a lot, especially in Exodus. You go look in Exodus, and a whole lot of things and a whole lot of people were sanctified. I mean, the sanctuary is sanctified. You'll read about the offering being sanctified. And you'll read about the utensils being sanctified. And it talks about a whole lot of things being sanctified. And that means they were set apart for God's purposes to do what He would with, to do what He wanted with those things. It was set apart for God's purpose as well. In the New Testament, it has a whole lot of the same meaning. When we read about something being sanctified, we were sanctified through the blood of Christ. It means we were set apart. Set apart. It does mean we were set apart once for all. That's the positional sanctification. We're set apart through the offering of the blood of Christ. I'll turn over here in Hebrews and I'll read two verses. Hebrews 10:10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So see, that's positional sanctification. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Sanctified once for all. And then in verse 14, for by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. By one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So there's positional sanctification. When God saved me, He set me apart for Himself. When God saved you, He set you apart for Himself. Every saved person is no different. There ain't no partial for anybody. God set us apart for Himself when we were saved. Isn't that wonderful? I'm set apart for Him forever. That's who I am now. I'm a set apart person for God forever. That's what my purpose is. That's what your purpose is tonight. You're set apart for Him. But not only did He set us apart positionally, but also it's progressive. It's progressive also. It's something that He's doing every day, that He's doing all the time. And sometimes it ain't too easy. I don't know if you know that yet or not. Sometimes it's not too easy. Sometimes His sanctifying process isn't too pleasant. Sometimes it isn't. But that's what He's doing. And we know what He's going to get us to. He's going to get us to that place where we're in the image of His dear Son. One day, He'll come back, we'll be changed to His likeness, and we'll be set apart perfectly. We'll be changed, we'll be glorified perfectly. Then, won't we? We'll be His, we'll be perfect. And that's what His end is for every child of God. That's where we're going, what we're going to be. And we know in Romans it talks about the different stages, and he says glorified as if it had already happened. God sees it as a finished thing.
See, God knows the end from the beginning. And God already knows that we're going to be glorified one day. So He can speak of it as if it's already happened because He knows it's going to happen. It's in His plan, therefore that's the way it's going to be. I'm glad He's that way. I'm glad he's that way, aren't you? I'm glad He knows everything. When Jared spent two tours of duty over in Iraq, I was glad that God knew everything. I was glad He knew everything. I was glad He was everywhere. I was glad He knew everything, and I was glad He could do everything. When my son was over there, I spoke to Jared just a few minutes on the phone before I left tonight. And you know what he said? He said, Dad, let it rip. I told him I was going to preach now, and he said, Dad, let it rip. And that means a lot to me. You pray for Jared. He's not where he ought to be, but he knows what's right. He does. He knows what's right. You pray for him. But God, we have a God who knows everything. He knows everything. He knew what He was going to do in our lives before He ever did it. And you say, well, why does it sound like a lot of things is on our part? Well, it is on our part. Well, you say, well, if God ever knows everything, how could it be on our part? I have no idea. I don't have to understand it. All I have to do is believe it. That's all I have to do. I know Him well enough to know He can't lie, so I don't have to understand everything. You see, when people try to understand everything, they get into things like hyper-Calvinism. When things don't match up and they try to say, well, this has to be this way then. It has to be this way. And they try to understand God, so they come up with some doctrines to make themselves feel better, to try to do mental gymnastics so they won't have to do mental gymnastics because their brain can't contain God. So they try to figure it out, so they come up with these doctrines that don't make no sense anyway. So I'll just believe what He's saying, okay? My little mind will feel better if I just believe what He's saying. Us children of God know a whole lot of things that the world don't know because they don't know our God. We know a part of what He's doing, and they don't know it and they don't understand it. But God has taught me a few things since I've been saved. See, He's working on me. He's still working on me. And He's still working on you. I'm not what I'm going to be. I'm not what I'm going to be yet, but He's working on me. He really is. See, when He saved me, He set me apart for Himself. And He's still setting me apart. That's progressive sanctification. Progressive. Now, I don't mean I get more saved. That just means I get more like I'm supposed to be since I'm saved. That's what that means. That means he starts performing His likeness in me more all the time. He's going to make me like Him, and He's trying to make me more like Him all the time. And He's setting me apart daily what I ought to be. I read this verse in 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you, but ye have been washed, ye have been sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He said, you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified. So see, that's what He's done, and that's what He's doing. That's what He's doing. Let me read just a few more verses right here. In Hebrews, let me see. I forgot what verse I wrote down now. Okay, here it is. In Ephesians 5:26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. In John 17, you know, Jesus said, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. So in two places He says, sanctify them through Thy Word. You see, that's part of the way He sanctifies us, by His Word. Washing of water by the Word. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. God sanctifies us. He's setting us apart by His Word. His sanctifying process works in my life by His Word. That's one way it works. And so what happens if I don't read His Word? I'm keeping God from doing what He is trying to do. If I don't read His Word, I'm hindering His sanctifying process. And that's why some of us Christians stay the same way we was when we first got saved, is because we're not cooperating. Sometimes we're stubborn little fellows. We are. Sometimes we're stubborn. Sometimes it takes God a long time to get it into our little hard heads that He means things. He saved me. He saved me, so I should read and see what's supposed to happen after I get saved. I should read. He'll tell me a lot if I'll just read. If I'll just study, He'll let me in on a lot of things. If I'll just study. And He sanctifies us also by the Holy Spirit. He sets us apart by the Spirit. The Spirit produces faith, one of the fruits of the Spirit. And it says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You're supposed to pray in the Spirit. God builds you up through the Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, He'll build you up. Some Baptists are scared of the Spirit. We shouldn't be scared of the Spirit. We shouldn't let some group that has a lot of false doctrine scare us about the Holy Spirit. The Baptists knew about the Spirit before the Pentecostals ever come along. I mean, we shouldn't be scared of the Holy Spirit. We should be cooperating with Him, not running from Him. We ought to be cooperating with Him. We're supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Holy Spirit's got a lot of things to do in our lives. If we would let Him and we would ask Him and we'd cooperate with Him. And God has given us His Word and His Spirit that He might sanctify us. That He might set us apart. Daily He's trying to set us apart. Daily He's trying to set us apart. There's some days I don't listen too good, do you? You know what? I have to do a lot of things over because I don't listen too good. That's the way teachers are sometimes. I mean, Sister Paula Sue, they make kids do things over because they don't do them right the first time. But God's a great big teacher, and He's our Father, and He knows what's good for us. And if we don't get it right the first time, we'll have to take it over until we do get it right. We'll have to take it over, and we'll have to take it over, and we'll have to take it over if we don't listen too good. And that's why some of us don't learn too good. Learning is a whole lot of repetition, even for us children of God. God's established it that way. That's the way we get things in our feeble little brains, by repetition, by studying, by repetition. And the more we study God's Word, the more God has given us this marvelous mind. And they've never created a computer big enough, I mean, that could process all the information a mind can. They can make a big computer, it can do a whole lot of things. But I ain't never seen a computer yet that worked eyeballs, that could see like I can see. I've never seen a computer yet that could walk like I walk. That's controlling my brain. I've never seen a computer yet that could enjoy the smells that God's put in this world. I mean, God, it's in my brain. It's in our brain. I've never seen a computer yet that could walk and talk and do four or five things at the same time. I've never seen one yet. They ain't going to make one. They just ain't smart enough. But God has given us a marvelous mind. And it's up to us to use that mind. That mind that's connected to our soul. It's connected to our inner being. And the things we let go into our minds is what we become. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The things we let come in, go into our mind. And that's one reason we're not sanctified no more than we are. Set apart. That is set apart for holy purposes, by the way. That's who we are. We're children of God. Instruments of righteousness. Set apart for holy purposes. That's the easiest way I know to define sanctify. To be set apart for holy purposes. That God might accomplish what He wants to accomplish. That's what I am. That's what you are. And when the things I let go into my mind is able to change me. If you let the wrong things go in your mind, it'll change you in the wrong way. You children of God, it will. It'll change you in the wrong way. You see, that's why when we first get saved, we don't know everything that we could know. We've just not been there yet. We've not studied it. God hasn't done a lot of things in our lives yet that He's going to do. We don't understand a lot of it when we first get saved. When I first got saved, I used to listen to... I'm just going to talk about myself here a few minutes. I told something in the prayer room, in the children's prayer room the other evening. And it was almost instantly after I got done, the Lord said, I want you to use that. So that's what I'm going to do. And that's not this one I'm starting at, but I'm going to do it in a minute. But when I first got saved, I loved to listen to a lot of rock music, you know. I loved to listen. I wasn't into the hard stuff, but I listened to the Beatles, and I listened to Elvis, and Tommy Rowe, and I met a whole bunch. I listened to a whole bunch of that stuff when I
when I got saved. And you know what? After I got saved, I continued to listen to that for a while. And there's been times that since I got saved down through my years, it's tried to... I mean, I can hear one of those songs. I can hear one of those songs, and if I ain't careful, it'll click in my mind just the way it used to click before I got saved, before I knew better. And I listened to Elvis Presley. I had about 20 some of his albums, I'd try to sing like him, and try to act like him, and all that stuff. And I'm not gonna hurt you by trying to do that before you tonight, okay? After I got saved, something started happening. It started happening. I found out it was getting harder to say some of those words I used to say in those songs, and the way they acted and the way they tried to sound. And I found out something was happening. It was changing. Something was changing. And I didn't know no theology. I didn't know any doctrine back then. But something was changing. It was just like I read, well, I believe it was in that one of them little old Watchman Nee books that I've got that one of. And he said somebody, some preacher over there in China led this man and woman to the Lord. And after he led them to the Lord, he had to go away. He couldn't stay. He had to go away, left them. And after he come back, they told him this story. He said it was their sort of something they did all the time. With their meal, they would drink some wine, some alcohol. They did that. And after they got saved, after that preacher left, after a while they found something started bothering them. When they tried to drink their wine with their meal, and it started bothering them. And they started praying. And that man finally told his wife, he said, well, there's something wrong. The Lord don't like some. He said, I believe it's just wine. He said, I believe it's just wine. We're going to quit drinking it. So they quit drinking it, and they felt so much better, you know. And after that preacher finally come back some period of time later, and they told him the story. But the man told the preacher, he said, we tried to drink that wine, but he said, resident boss inside, he didn't like it. And you know what? When I first got saved, a whole lot of things I used to do, that resident boss inside of me started telling me he didn't like some of those things. He started his sanctifying process. He was setting me apart for holy purposes to accomplish his will, to accomplish what he wanted. And it got to where those Elvis songs started bothering me. Again, they started bothering me. And those Beatles, I found out I couldn't enjoy them like I once did. And I could listen to them today. I could listen to them, but I couldn't enjoy them like I did. I couldn't enjoy them like I did. Because back there when I enjoyed them, I just had one nature. And that was a carnal nature. That was a carnal nature. It's connected to this world. And the things of this world, it's connected. We're made out of the dust of this earth. That's why we like it so good, like to wallow in it so good. But after I got saved, I got a new nature. A new nature, a spiritual nature. I was born spiritually. I became spiritually alive. There's a part of me that sees like I never saw before. I hear like I never heard before. I walk like I never walked before. Because he's totally different than this world. And he don't like Elvis Presley rock songs. He don't. He has told me many times he don't like them. He don't like the Beatles. He don't like them. He don't like them. He don't like their message. He don't like the men. He don't like their influences. He don't like where their money goes. He don't like what it produces. He don't like what it causes. He don't like it. He don't like it. So you know what? If I'm going to get along with him right good, I'll have to not like it too. And that spiritual man on the inside of me that's created in the image of, after the image of God and righteousness and true holiness, he don't like it. My new man don't like it. And my old man, he still likes it. That carnal nature, he still likes a lot of things. He still likes a lot of things in this world. And sometimes they try to jump up.
Does your old things start to try to jump up sometimes? Sometimes my old things try to jump up. They bother me. They bother me sometimes. But I know where to go. I know where to go to get it fixed up and get it right though and get it settled and get back on track and just start agreeing with Him and His sanctified again. Lord, I want what You want. Lord, what will Thou have me to do? What do You want? Lord, I'm Yours. I'm all Yours. I have to say that and I have to agree that and I have to mean that to feel right. To feel right. If I want to be in fellowship with Him. And I told him this story the other day in the prayer room, what I was getting to. When I was young, and I was in my teen years, and you know, I liked to play ball. I've got Hope Crawford's story. Sister Debbie knows what I'm talking about. Hope Crawford. So we played ball for hours at a time. Me and Warren Crawford and Doug Jackson, Mike Brandon, a whole bunch of us, all we lived playing basketball at their store. And I was pretty good too, by the way. I was pretty good too. When I was 18, I could grab 10-foot goal with both hands. You can't tell by looking at me now, could you? But I could. And I could have dunked the ball, but my hand's too little. I can't get a hold of it. I could have dunked it if it hadn't been, my hand hadn't been so little. And then we loved to play out there at Hope Crawford store. And it's sort of like, you know, before you saved, a lot of us dressed like we wasn't saved before we saved. I'm just telling this to let you know what God did in my life. But I used to wear cut-off blue jean shorts, about as short as I could get them, and I didn't wear a shirt. So, I mean, I was a naked-looking little thing, what I was. That's what I was. I mean, I look back now and I think, oh man, I'm glad I didn't know then what I know now. Because if I know then what I know now, it would embarrass me something horrible. But I did, and I would do that. And then I got saved. I got 15 years old when I got saved. And I know it took God some time to develop me in some ways. But then I went right back out to our store and kept playing ball, you know. And I started wearing the same things. And I remember one Wednesday night, I can remember it as clear. And you know, when God does something specific, lots of times that memory is indelibly on your mind and it's going to be there. But I can remember that Wednesday night, and we had been out the store playing ball. And we was getting ready to go. And anyway, well, here come the Wednesday night prayer meeting crowd in their cars. And I can remember, I can still remember. I can remember seeing Dempsey Light's car coming. And you see, it affected me that way because there was somebody on the inside of me that had never been there before. And I saw his car. And I had confidence in Dempsey and Arthur. And I can remember when I saw their car, I stepped over behind them other boys because I didn't want him to see me. I tried to hide. But I had something going on inside of me, way too big to hide. I could try to hide it a little bit, but it wasn't to be hid. It's way too big to be hid. You can't hide it. If it's all, God's too big to hide, you can't hide Him. If it's best to just jump in with Him all the way and just love Him right good, what's the best thing to do instead of trying to hide Him? And I can remember there were some people there that loved the Lord. And their influence greatly influenced me in positive ways. As Brother Barry used to say, it ruined me in a good way. It did. It ruined me in a good way. Around some of those old-fashioned Christians that love the Lord. And I had my hair sort of long, too. I had hair down here one time. It was ugly, it was. You don't have to see it. It was ugly. But I didn't know it then. I didn't realize it. And I went to church, and Brother Dempsey, he'd say,
That hair's sort of long, ain't it, boy? Just, I mean, he'd just grin and pat me, you know. But he was loving me. But, you know, the Holy Spirit was talking to me, though. The Holy Spirit was talking to me. It wasn't long before that hair disappeared. It got shorter. It's changed. And then, you know what? I've been changing ever since. Been changing ever since. He's sanctifying us. He's changing us. Children of God. We're not the same. We're not the same. That's what that verse said right here. Right here in 1 Corinthians. And such were some of you. But you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We've been changed, justified and sanctified. Now we're children of God, and He ain't done yet. He's not done yet. You say, well, what's your purpose of preaching this tonight, Michael? My purpose is to tell us that He ain't done yet. That He's still got work, to tell us He is working. He is working. When that low-down lying devil tells you there ain't no use to read your Bible, hey, read it anyway. He just wants to keep you out of it because he's scared. He's scared. He knows what a child of God that's built up in faith can do. He knows what they can do. He knows my daddy listens to me when I'm in fellowship. So he wants to get me out of fellowship every way he can because he knows my daddy hears me when I'm in fellowship. So he'll lie, he'll do everything under every under thing under heaven you can think of to get me out of fellowship with my father. Because he hates my father. And the only way he can get at my father is make me do bad stuff. He make me do bad stuff. And he knows if he gets me out of fellowship, instead of God working through me, he has to work on me more. So it ought to be our purpose to stay in fellowship. And allow God to do His work in us so that He can work through us. So we can do something against that low-down devil. I'm glad I'm one of His, aren't you? I'm glad I'm one of His. In 1 Thessalonians, I believe I didn't read that verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of grace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Sanctify you wholly. So that's my desire. The very God of peace might sanctify you wholly. And then In Ephesians 5:26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. That's how He might sanctify it and cleanse it. That's how He sets us apart and cleans us up, ain't it? Keeps us clean through the Word. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. So we ought to. We ought to determine that we're going to get in God's Word like we should. Because that's what builds me up. That's what sanctifies me, builds me up, what cleans me up. God's Word does. You can't be in there very long what it don't affect you if you're a child of God. I mean, it'll affect you. It'll have influence on you if you're a child of God. Because when you read that Word, if you're saved, you not only read the Word. See, I used to read it a little bit before I got saved. And it wasn't very interesting. Just facts, you know. But after I got saved, and I know the author, and I not only know the author, but the author is inside of me. Inside of me. And when I read it now, you know what he does? He talks to me through it. And he tells me what it means. And he tells me what it means to me when I read it. So we ought to make a resolution, not a New Year's resolution, but we ought to make a resolution. We ought to be resolved Like Jonathan Edwards had he ought to resolve to do so and so. Well, we ought to be resolved. I will read God's Word daily, no matter what. Whatever I have to. And, you know, we have trouble setting our priorities sometimes. Do you? I know I do. We have trouble setting our priorities. We ought to do the most important thing first, though. We ought to do the most important thing first. If we really believe God's Word, and I really know I'm saved, and I know I'm God's, and I know that it cleanses me and causes me to grow up and sets me apart for Him reading His Word, then it ought to be the highest priority that I read His Word. It ought to be the highest priority. That ought to be one of the number one things that I do. I read His Word. And since the Holy Spirit builds me up, since the Holy Spirit builds me up through the Word of God, I ought to read the Word of God. And since it's praying and the Holy Ghost builds me up, I ought to pray. So I ought to spend quite a bit of time praying and reading is what I ought to do. And it'll help me if I will. It'll help me if I will. And the devil, another good reason to do it, because the devil don't want you to do it. And we ought to do it just in spite of him. That's another good reason. Do it in spite of him. Because he don't like me and I don't like him too good. He's caused me a lot of trouble. I don't know about you, but he's caused me a lot of trouble. So we all stay in fellowship with God because we can cause him a little trouble. We ought to do that. And the Lord's been so good to us, hasn't he? And I'm quitting. I had 4 pages of stuff here marked up. I never did look at it because I just didn't feel like doing it that way. It's been good to be here tonight. I thank the Lord for every one of you. I'm glad the Lord's put us here together. Let's just all do what we're supposed to do. Cooperate with the Lord. Let Him sanctify us. Let Him do His... Now, we can't do what we're supposed to do if we don't let Him do His work on us. We can't just go through the motions and get anything done. Because that's just flesh. Flesh can't do nothing. Of any lasting consequence, flesh can't do nothing. It'll just burn up and blow away. Flesh does it. But now if the Holy Spirit does it, if we're in fellowship with Him, the Holy Spirit does it, it'll cause eternal changes. It'll cause eternal changes. And I'd like to have some good influences on other people. I would. I'd like to influence these young people. These young people, they're beautiful. They're beautiful. We got some beautiful young people here in this church. And God's going to work in their lives. And I don't want to do nothing to hinder them. You see, I can remember back when I was a teenager. And I can remember there at Pine Grove, Sister Debbie. I can remember when Billy Gregg was there, and Jerry Dykes was there, and they led the youth, had the youth group, and they led the youth group. I can still remember their influences on my life. I'm 55. I can still remember those influences they had in my life when I was just young. And us older people, we need to have influences on these younger people. The Bible says the older women teach the younger women to love their husbands. You might be funny and say, that's pretty hard, but you're supposed to be doing that, really. The older women are supposed to be teaching these younger women how to love their husbands. The older men are supposed to be teaching the younger men. We're supposed to be teaching them. We're supposed to be teaching them what's right and what's wrong. We're supposed to be doing that. And God will use us in His sanctifying process if we do that. It's been good to be here tonight. Let's pray before we dismiss. Lord, we thank You for everything You've done for us. Lord, thank You for being so good and so gracious to us. Lord, You're so good. Lord, have Your way in everyone's lives. Help us, Lord, to cooperate with You and Your sanctifying in our lives. Lord, You're working. Lord, you're working. You tell us, Lord, to work on salvation, fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in us, both to will and do His good pleasure. Lord, I should be very careful to listen to You when You talk, what You're trying to say to me, because, Lord, You're trying to work Your will, trying to change my will to match Your will, and trying to make me what You want so You can accomplish Your purposes through me. Help me to cooperate with You in that, Lord. Help me not to be stubborn, Lord, and fight against You, but help me to just yield to You. Lord, and I know some sanctify is pretty hard sometimes, Lord. I know sometimes you have to do some things in their lives pretty severe to get us to get things out of our lives that shouldn't be there and to get us to listen to you and do the things we should. Lord, help us to surrender to you, to yield to you, Lord. You may do what you want. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for this place and this people. Thank you for our pastor, Lord. Bless him, strengthen him, empower him, Lord, where you've got him at. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. You've been so good. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.